Yeah, it always starts as soon as it goes on live. So, but yeah, we're rolling. So yeah,
family is doing well. Maddie was surprisingly well behaved today, which means that tomorrow she'll wake up and demand that we take her to the toy store because she was good today.
No, of course.
So that's to be expected. I'm having a mini guys night tomorrow night with two of my friends. We're gonna watch. One of the guys has never seen Three Amigos.
Oh my gosh! Really?
Yeah. Yep.
How old is he?
Oh, he's our age. He's in his 40s. He's never seen Three Amigos, but I've never seen Monty Python's Holy Grail. So I've been told that that's even a worse crime not to have seen that movie yet.
Oliver has taken to that movie and we'll quote it at school. And I think all of his friends are like, what's wrong with you?
Like, well, you don't find many little kids that are quoting Holy Grail. No,
not a lot of 7-year-olds are up on the Monty Python bits.
No,
maybe if they're like UK kids, but not when they're in the, you know, his school is, you know, 60% Hispanic, Dominican. So,
well, you know, what's funny is that even when I try to have a guy's night, the girls, the women still, you know, have their say in it because, the two guys, their wives are friends with Blaine and we all have kids. So the guys are coming over here. These two guys, Matt and LJ, and the girls are all going over to LJ's wife's place and let the kids play. Mm-hmm. But tomorrow apparently is LJ's birthday. So his wife, Kim, was messaging me saying, oh, I'm going to send him over there with birthday cake and everything. And I'm writing back like, no, it's a guy's night. You don't send birthday cake to a guy's night. And so, oh, well.
Birthday
it'll
be beer?
It'll be a guy's night with birthday cake.
You do birthday beer?
Birthday beer. Yeah. Well, my what's surprising is that ever since we moved to Colorado, I can very – most beers will give me a headache like almost instantly. And there's only like a couple of beers I could drink that will not give me a headache. I don't know if it's because of the altitude or what, but these days I really only do Coors Light, Amstel Light, and maybe one or two others, but – I don't know. It might be the altitude. I don't know.
I remember when I lived in Mexico, we were at like 7,000-8,000 feet, and I could get drunk really fast, I remember.
Yeah.
Like it did not, I mean, I'm not a huge drinker, but it did not take a lot for me to get hammered in Mexico, in the mountains at least. So maybe it is the altitude.
Were you drinking tequila?
Of course.
Okay. There you go. And, you know, on the I was thinking about you the other day. I've been listening to a lot of Yes lately.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm really, really getting into Yes. Not to the same extent that I've devoted my life to Pink Floyd and everything Roger Waters, but I've been listening to a lot of Yes. And then I was actually proud of myself because I was at the – this is one of the things I do. I was at the library. And I usually will just, you know, check out a bunch of CDs and burn them. So, you know, to increase my music selection. Mm-hmm. But I listened to Chet Atkins for the very first time.
Hmm.
That should tell you how behind I am on the music scene. That I actually picked up a Chet Atkins CD and said, huh, I wonder what this guy's all about.
Yeah, but I think, you know, Chet Atkins, like our parents probably knew Chet Atkins.
Yeah.
And then I think, like, if you're a guitarist, like a diehard guitarist, you probably know him, but.
Well, that, and that's the thing. I was reading in Rolling Stone that they ranked the top 100 guitar players, and I would say at least 10 or 15. Oh, so it was the top 100 guitar players of all time ranked by the top guitarists of all time. And no. I would say for like 15 of them, they all like were praising Chet Atkins. Like, first time I heard Chet Atkins, that was it for me. Went out, got a guitar, and started playing. So,
I wonder who was number one. Do you remember?
Yes, I do. Number one was Jimi Hendrix. Number two was Eric Clapton. Number three was George Harrison. Those were the top three. Surprisingly, Lifeson from Rush, he was 100. I thought he'd be ranked a little higher. Yeah. Kurt Cobain outranked him. Like, how does that make any sense?
I guess it's not about virtuosity. It's about moxie, too.
I guess so. I was really surprised. I mean, yeah, Alex Lifeson's great. And David Gilmour was number 14. John Lennon was in the top 50, which makes
sense.
That doesn't make any sense.
As a guitar, like as a songwriter, yeah, he's probably in the top 10 for songwriters, but guitar, it wasn't like he was a...
No. Peter Buck from REM was in the... He was like number 70 or something.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I was really surprised with Eric Lifeson's his polling. But who else?
I guess with Peter, it's like, you know, maybe it's like the first time you heard a guitarist and you're like, oh, I could play that. Like with him, it's just like open E minor chords and
right.
Yeah.
Well, what they liked about George Harrison was the fact that like George Harrison wasn't really he wasn't an in your face guitarist. Like he played. How did they phrase it? He played the absolute minimum, but with what he had, it was so great. Yeah, that he nailed it. Like, you know, that George Harrison is one of those distinctive sounds where you know you're listening to George Harrison.
Oh, My Guitar Gently Weeps.
Yep,
is I think penultimate for that the Beatles at that time.
Yeah, but that was Eric Clapton, wasn't it?
I don't know if Clapton. That was Clapton doing the solo. Yeah.
Clapton is the first non-Beatle to record on a Beatles track, and that was now whether he had the solo or not, I don't remember, but something like George Harrison was talking to him one day and said, well, "Why don't you come in and record this song with me?" And then that was that. He was the only first non-Beatle to ever record on a Beatles album.
Huh. And then he stole his wife.
He stole his wife. Yeah. That's what I always thought Layla was about, and apparently it's not. It's about some mythical story or something, but it's not about
Harrison's wife.
It's like he stole his wife, but they remained best friends.
Yeah.
So, yeah, go figure. What else has been going on with you?
Oh man, tonight was a big Boy Scout night. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So Oliver is a Tiger Scout, which is like one of the first, they have Lion Scouts apparently, which are like kindergarten, but then Tiger is first grade. we don't have a lion pack or den, I guess a lion den. So Ollie is the youngest. He's the Tiger Scout and it's a den of one. So by de facto, I am the den leader.
Okay.
Just because no one else was around to be my son's den leader. So,
okay.
I don't know shit about, I was a Weeblo for 1 week.
Weeblo.
And yeah, which is the most god awful name for a Boy Scout. And, you know, you know, I might have to cut that out. But yeah, so. I remember for me, it was 1 week of going to like, you know, I was like, I wanted to get the uniform. Every man wants a uniform and thinks he can impress the ladies. I was in fifth grade. And so I got my uniform. My mother, you know, a single mom at the time, she like drives me there for one meeting. And it was me in a basement with a bunch of other kids. And I wasn't blind yet, but I couldn't see good.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of awkward, like what to do with Tony. And so they're like, okay, well, we're doing this activity where we're cutting our names out of sheet metal with pliers. And I'm like, this is scouting? And where's the camping? Where's the fires? Where's the marshmallows? Yeah. And so I got a T and an O done that week. And then I never came back. So I just was left with T and O. So I never got all the way through Tony. And that was... That was my scouting experience. Nothing about, you know, Oh, and I think that I got so enthusiastic right in that weekend too. I jumped in and tried to sell popcorn, door-to-door popcorn, to go to the World Jamboree.
Yeah.
Which is like the big scouting thing. And I think I ended up buying a lot of popcorn or talking my mom into buying some. And maybe sold one house, maybe bought some.
Like, so. They couldn't refuse you, just like the Girl Scout cookies.
I know. Girl Scout cookies. They sell like crazy, that stuff. Boy Scout popcorn, not as interesting to people. They're like, oh, I can get that at the store.
Well, the thing about the Girl Scouts now is that usually, like, if I saw their table, you know, I could always say, oh, I'm sorry, I don't have any cash on me today. But now, because of the Apple PayPal thing, they take credit.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah. Do they really? No. Yep, that's the big thing, is that they will take credit now. So if you go and you say, oh, yeah, I don't have any money, they're like, no, it's okay. We take debit. We take credit.
Yeah.
You can't escape the Girl Scout cookies.
See, now, hey, Lulu, I mortgaged our house for Girl Scout cookies today.
Yeah.
They had all the paperwork there. And so.
They had all the paperwork there.
So, yeah, so tonight was the annual blue and gold banquet. Like where the Oliver got his badges.
Oh, okay.
Like he graduated into Tiger Scouts from what's called a Bobcat, which is like the first stage you kind of go through for every scout goes through. Did you ever do scouting?
I think I did it for like a week or so. I don't.
Yeah.
I thought the same thing that, women love a man in a uniform, but no one told me that they were talking about, oh no, naval uniforms.
Yeah.
Marine uniforms.
Yeah, not like Boy Scouts. Not like a scouts were like the you're so little when you're a Tiger Scout.
Yeah.
And the badges are still the same, like the same size American flag on the sleeve. So it's like these huge like patches on his shoulders, and he's very cute in it, but I just feel like a failure for a den leader dad. I mean, I'm trying, but I just don't, you know, it's I'm learning as he goes. I'm trying to stay one chapter ahead of him in the scout book.
Is there a lot of pressure on a den leader?
I don't know. I mean, not when you have one kid. Oh, well, I guess maybe in some sense, yes, because I don't want my one kid to be like, you know, well, Tony has a zero success rating in this category.
Yeah.
So, tonight, Oliver just got up and wandered right on the stage, right as the pack leader was talking. For all the others, and I was just Lauren noticed it. I was like, "Oh, sorry, I didn't notice it." And he just like walked up on the stage, like, "Ollie, you don't do that, man."
Sorry, got that eyesight thing going on.
No, but it's just like that's my unwieldy kid. That's the thing. I'm always feeling like, you know, like where's my kid? Where's my kid? Because he's running around with all the other kids. I'm like, oh, geez.
So is Elliot gonna follow in his footsteps and join the Scouts too?
I don't know. I hope so, only so that we can pass down and try to get more of our money's worth on these uniforms. They're so expensive.
Wear your brother's uniform. You'll like it.
Yeah, yeah. But we'll see.
How is Lauren doing?
She's doing good. She's hanging in there. It's nice weather here. It's been warm, except the past 2 days got really cold, but it's going to be like 67 on the weekend this weekend. So.
Yeah, the weather like out here.
The warmest February ever.
Yeah, the weather out here is freakish. I mean, it's been in the upper 60s, 70s for the last couple days. I mean, it's February in Denver. We have yet to experience a real Colorado winter that's really been like, you know, really harsh or, you know, just abominable. But I mean, so far the weather has just been terrific.
That's my fear is that there's going to be like an abominable snowman like hiding behind a building. He's going to be like, ha ha, I fooled you. Yeah. I was here the whole time. 3 feet of snow. Like just slam the shit out of us. I have a major event for work, like, you know, the last weekend in February, this huge conference I'm trying to plan and coordinate. And I just, I'm so nervous. It's like going to be like 70 degrees and then 31 and snow. Like next weekend, I'm just going to be like, shit. So
that's funny.
So anyways.
Every time I talk to you, it seems like you're planning a conference.
Yeah, well, you know. It's not like there's nothing going on in DC right now, so.
No, it's pretty quiet.
Yeah, so. You know.
I was telling somebody today that, you know, as much as happy as I am to be out of the TV business, it's got to be fun to be in it right now. Like, I would love, I mean, there's a part of me that would love to, like, be able to go into the CNN newsroom just for a couple hours and listen to the conversation going on. It's got to be wild.
I'd love to be in, like, the full frontal Samantha Bee or John Oliver, you know, writer's rooms.
I know. It's
just, there's so much to take.
Did you ever get into Trevor Noah?
I gave him a shot, and he's all right. It's just, it's so hard to live up after Jon Stewart. I mean, Jon Stewart was just penultimate. I feel like sometimes his timing just isn't my vibe.
Maybe
I'm just too old. I don't know. Maybe the kiddos like him.
No, I was the same way. I gave him a chance. I like him a little bit. I think I admire him because, you know, anyone who voluntarily decides to fill Jon Stewart's shoes, you've got to salute them a little bit. I couldn't do it. But yeah, it's not that, you know, I don't know. I'd give anything to have Jon Stewart back right now.
I'm trying to remember what I felt like when Craig Kilborn left. Was I like, oh, Jon Stewart?
Greg Kilborn was great. I loved Greg Kilborn. He was on it for like 1 year.
Yeah. I will say, though, Jon Stewart had me before he started. When he came and opened up for the B-52s in Athens, this is before he took on The Daily Show, he was still doing stand-up.
Oh, wow.
And I never hurt more in my life. Like, my stomach muscles physically were, like, aching by the end of his show. Because it was just hilarious. It was just like, oh, man. It was some of the best stand-up I saw. I hope maybe he'll go back on stand-up someday.
I mean, I went to see that show with you. I was with you.
Were you there? Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You, I think before the show, you interviewed Fred Schneider.
Yeah.
WUOG.
Yep.
I remember. So we went to
that, yeah.
I remember vividly that you had spent a lot of time coordinating that interview, and you did the interview from the newsroom, and you like made sure that none of us came into that room. It was like, you know, you're like, you know, listen, fuckers, it took me weeks to line this thing up. No one's coming in this room. See the on-air light? Yeah, stay out.
And of course, then when he went on the air, I was like, bah.
Mr. Schneider, sir, you
Rock Lobster. Nah.
Honored to talk to a rock legend of your status. Yeah, and then I went with you to the B-52 show, and REM was in the audience. Everyone was like, they came in and they took a couple seats and then they left after a couple songs. But that was I remember that. That was wild.
That was cool, just because, I mean, because we were with the radio station, like, I remember going to those shows, like a lot of those shows that we would go to at the, whatever the name of that, I feel bad. I don't remember the name of the arena in Athens, whatever the basketball arena was called. Candy would all, like, Candy and Willie would always get us in early. Like the student affairs planning folks, we could always get in. So it was like, it's always just kind of fun to, like, walk around an arena when, like, they're getting the chairs set up. You know, you feel like a roadie, but you don't have to do any work, which is nice.
Well, you know, we were a radio station. We were the cool kids.
I know. We were like, yeah. We had cred.
I remember that Bob Dylan performed at the...
at that new Athens Center.
And I remember thinking to myself, like, this cannot be a highlight of Bob Dylan's career. Like, that he's playing... I mean, it was, like, in a conference room or something.
He was like coming back though. Like he had kind of, you know, like 90s was not a good time for Dylan.
No.
You know. And but that was like, I guess right when he started to start doing his comeback.
Yeah.
I remember we all had to stand. There were no seats. I remember standing for like 2 hours. It was a long night. It was a good show though. I mean,
I wasn't there for it.
I'm glad that it's one of those people that I'm glad I got to see.
Yeah.
But he didn't do a lot of, like, slow, like, just acoustic. It was very electric, I remember.
Yeah, yeah. So. The best concert I saw in Athens. I didn't see many, but it was Widespread Panic.
When they closed the street down?
Yep, their CD release party for Lightview's Getaway.
Yeah.
I was standing on top. I was on the roof of the 40 watt.
Weren't you broadcasting?
No, I was. It was in the middle of University News or Hazinski's class, and a couple of the broadcast news students were going to cover the concert, and so a couple of them needed someone to shoot stand-ups for them on the roof of the 40 watt during the concert. So I volunteered, and man, that was one of the scariest experiences. The roof of the 40 watt was literally held together with duct tape. It was rough.
We were sandwiched all the way back, and like, I forget where, like past College Avenue, like we were way back.
Yeah, no, I know. I can't believe I didn't get you up there either. I thought I remembered that you did. I
ended up connecting with Trey and some other guys that I think were coming to town. So I think that's why we weren't together that day. But okay. I was just thinking a second ago though. What was it? Oh, Athfest. When the first couple of Athfests, when they would close College Avenue right in front of the arch down. I'm sure this is so exciting for people that have never been to Athens, Georgia.
Yeah, really.
Athens is like, for those that don't know, it's kind of like, it's got your typical old grass quad campus. And then maybe, what, three blocks in and like eight blocks across of like the cute boutique shops, the cool bars and stuff. And so when they started doing Athfest,
mom and pop coffee shops.
But it was, I think it was that first Athfest, though. You remember Quint, my first guide dog, my first CNI dog. He was a German Shepherd. And we were sitting on the street, and he started lapping up antifreeze.
Oh.
And remember, and that's when he got the seizures. And I, like, called you in a panic. Do you remember that? And, like, you had to rush over to the vet. You, like, came over, picked me up when I lived over at Rivers, whatever that apartment complex was.
Yeah.
And then you drove me all the way to the vet, like taking him to the vet because he was having seizures.
I do not remember that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I do not.
You were a lifesaver.
There was antifreeze on the street?
Yeah, like on the street and like from a car, you know, like they just blocked the street off, but they didn't clean the street. And I guess a car was leaking antifreeze and he lapped it up. And because the vet was like, oh, that stuff's really sweet. I'm like, well, that's stupid. and so I took him home, and then like that night, or maybe it was the next morning, like he started having seizures, like he got poisoned from it. And so you rushed over, you had your Cherokee. I remember that Cherokee you had, and you hauled me over to the vet. That was the nice thing about being at the university, was we had the vet hospital.
Right.
Well, I say good thing. I mean, it could have been a student working on him. That would have been scary, but he turned out okay. He made it through.
What happened to Tony's dog? Antifreeze.
Jeez.
It gets him every time.
Yeah. That was scary.
How is Palmer working out? Is he fully trained now? Like he's
Yeah, he's back on track. He went back for a little retrain in September.
Yeah.
So he's doing good. He's still like nervous with doors that close, like sliding doors. Just because we got stuck in train doors once.
You gotta hate those doors that close.
Well, like good point. The kind that like slides shut, like on a like train doors, like subway.
Oh,
doors.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, like we got caught in the metro subway one day, and it really freaked him out, and freaked me out too. We like metro subways aren't like New York where they open back up; they literally just pin you in there. And so I'm like stuck. It's like, you know, I'm surprised the driver's not looking. Like if the driver was doing his job, he probably would have looked back and noticed. Hey, there's half a dog sticking out of the door, but. He was a moron. So he like opened and then closed them again. But, you know, Palmer since then has always been sort of hesitant with like elevator doors or like grocery doors that open up like that, you know, like at a grocery store.
Palmer's so, like, yeah, you go first. You go first, old man.
She's like, I don't know about this. So, yeah.
Wow.
But he's hanging in there. No antifreeze. That's good.
No antifreeze.
Yeah.
What happened to your dog? Antifreeze.
It was, oh man, it was scary though. Cause I was like, what's going on? So
wow. I was, I was thinking, oh yeah, I was eating sushi the other night, and it reminded me of the sushi debacle of 97.
Oh man, I had a veggie burger the other day. No, wait, what was it? Lauren made something with tempeh. That's what it was. And it totally tasted like something from Guaranteed.
Really?
Which was the Michael Stipe veggie restaurant in Athens for that. Like, it was only there for like a year, but that's where the sushi incident happened too.
Yeah.
Same place.
It'd be neat. It was always neat at Guaranteed to see, you know, who the freshmen were in the restaurant. Because they're the ones that would always go up to Michael Stipe and ask for an autograph. Yeah. Meanwhile, all the seniors and juniors were like, yep.
Plain and cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was good food, though.
Oh, Guaranteed was incredible. But do you remember the sushi? The wasabi God,
yeah.
Incident?
Yeah. That was like heartburn for days.
Oh.
I took the whole, I thought it was a piece, it was about the size of a piece of sushi, and I just swallowed it whole. And that sucked.
There aren't many things I'll make fun of you about, but that one is just one of my favorite stories of all. I really thought you were going to pass out. I was like, this guy's going to die right in front of me.
It was up there from when we went to the other place, and Harry and I were shooting sake, but it turned out we were shooting hot water. Because they put the sake, like, they brought that tea jar, the teapot. Were you there for that dinner?
No.
It was like a radio station dinner, and so it was Harry and a bunch of others, and they brought a teapot, and we thought it was the sake, so we started pouring it. So Harry's like, I don't even think Harry was old enough to drink, but so he was like bartending for us, pouring us the sake, and we started taking shots of sake, and I was like, this tastes awful. This is the worst tasting sake I've ever had. It's ruined. And then like 20 minutes in, Harry like pops the top of the teapot off and goes, oh, look. And he pulls a teeny tiny little like airplane size bottle of sake out that had been sitting in hot water to make it hot sake. And so I was like, I spent $20 to shoot hot water. So,
wow. I have never tried sake. I've never had it.
I always thought it was cool when I was addicted to sushi, where I would always try to take a shot with the cook, like, you know, the sushi chef, yeah, or like at a hibachi place. That was kind of like the cool thing. That's when I thought it was like culturally hip.
Well, one of the best shot experiences I ever had. And when you guys come out here, I got to take you to this restaurant. It's called Angelina's. And I know you love the old New York style things. And mm-hmm. the owner of this Italian restaurant is a former NYPD cop.
Nice.
He's friends with Serpico, the actual real Serpico.
Jeez.
And this guy, Bob is his name. He cooks all the food. He will not make pizzas on Friday and Saturdays because it takes too long and he doesn't want to rush it. Mm-hmm. Makes his own bread, all this stuff.
Nice.
And we're talking to him and he was saying, yeah, after I got back from Vietnam, I needed to do something to kind of relax. So I became a cop. And
God.
Bob, you got back from Vietnam and then to unwind, you became a New York cop.
Yeah, not just like, any cop.
Yeah, not just any cop, a New York cop. And so anyway, we went there in November for my birthday. And I guess Lane told him it was my birthday and he came out and he put this wooden case on the table, opened it up, and it was all these like sterling silver shot glasses that, you know, I imagine that, you know, Serpico did shots with him at one point.
Right.
And he had me do a shot with him, and I felt good.
Now, am I going to have to delete this section? So no. I'm not having the one of the families start a.
No. He's probably put a few of them behind bars. Then again, they might be funding his restaurant. I don't know, but we are going to take you to this restaurant. It's
okay.
Yeah, the guy is old school New York all the way. But I thought that was the funniest thing in the world. Yeah, I got back from Nam. I was all messed up, so I became a cop. No,
it's like I got in the demolition.
Yeah, I was expecting anything, but I became a realtor or anything. But no, you became a New York cop. But that's kind of the cool thing is that every once in a while you'll find these restaurants that are, you know, it's just old school and got have a lot of character, and you know the owner is the chef and all that stuff. And man, I love it when you're able to find those kind of hidden treasures.
Denver's got a lot of that too. Like Denver's got, for a city that's only like 150 years old, it kind of has some cool, like just cred to it, like old world feel sometimes.
Well, you know? Have you ever been up to Boulder?
Oh God, yeah, I love Boulder.
Okay, yeah, Boulder, like Pearl Street.
Yeah, the Pearl Street Market or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you go to places like Boulder is like supposedly like University of Colorado Boulder is has like the worst. The duration to get your bachelor's degree. Like everyone in Boulder is on the 6-year plan because no one's in a rush to get out of there.
I don't blame them. I wouldn't be.
I wouldn't be either.
Compared to College Park, man, I don't want to diss the town I'm in now, but University of Maryland has this like 2020 thing where they're trying to make the campus be like a Charlottesville or an Ann Arbor or a Boulder by 2020.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, guys, you got a long way to go. It's like go ahead.
Oh, it's a beautiful campus though. University of Maryland. Unless I'm, maybe I'm not remembering. Okay.
I don't know. It's the campus. Like if you drive through campus, there's some nice trees, a couple big trees. A lot of buildings that look like they're like 1940 institutional.
Yeah.
Like it's not Athens or like this summer, Lauren took me to Chapel Hill for the first time. Man, that's like a plush green old campus. It's very cool.
But North Carolina? North
Carolina, yeah. UNC, yeah. Chapel Hill.
So yeah, I've heard that's a beautiful campus.
So like, I guess UMD's campus is okay, but like the college town is like, you know, there's a comic book store, a bagel place. There's not even like a real coffee shop in town.
Hmm.
What college town doesn't? I mean, obviously kids just get on the metro and go to like DuPont Circle or somewhere in DC, but I don't know. It's just kind of sad that there's not like a college vibe.
Hmm.
Still like two bars and a pizza joint and a couple of
things. I don't really have that at the University of Denver too. I mean, there is a downtown area, but not really nothing like, you know, Athens. You know, I think Athens in a lot of ways has spoiled a lot of us who went to UGA.
Yeah.
And that you could go downtown and there are very few of those mom and pop coffee shops left. But, you know, you could go downtown to like a place like Blue Sky. And I was thinking about this the other day. This was before Wi-Fi. So we actually went to the coffee shops to drink coffee.
No, like, I know. You're right.
You know, and they had those really beat up leather sofas that when you sat on them, you sunk all the way down. And yeah, you went for the coffee. You went for the conversation. It was there was no Wi-Fi.
That is weird to think that like nobody – a time before people looked at their phones and scrolled them up and down. Like
yeah. You actually – and that sounds so foreign now that – you would actually go to a coffee shop to talk to somebody and drink coffee. But yeah, you know, I was just thinking about that the other day. Like you and I actually went to school at the very start of the whole internet.
Yeah. No, when it was like a big deal to get like an email address.
Yep.
And like, cause you'd get it through your university. You didn't have to pay.
Yep.
It's like, oh, free email. As long as I give them $20,000 a year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and you think about it, you know, when you and I went to UGA, it was maybe the enrollment was 29,000, 30,000, maybe 30,000 person's campus, and there was maybe two computer labs.
Yeah.
There was one in the Old Tate Center, and then there was one somewhere else.
Down by the research library, the grad library
on
South Campus, I remember.
Yeah.
Well, I remember we got to choose our own email address when I first started there. So my email was sound@uga.edu.
And I remember that email address.
And because I was like, they were like, you could choose whatever you want. Like there was not even like a nomenclature. Like there weren't even like guidelines of like A. Stevens@UGA, you know, or like E. Kravitz 97.1 at, you know.
Yeah.
I was like, whatever I want. I could be tickle butt head cheese at UGA.edu.
One of my favorite things when I do career advising for students, one of my favorite parts is looking at the resumes. It's like one of the number one rules is for your email address, don't have anything like, you know, lovehandles57 or anything like that. Yeah. Like just your name and at wherever it is. And you still have all these students that just come up with like crazy horrific email addresses. And part of me just doesn't even want to say anything to them. But yeah, I mean, still like it's like you could have your cute email address that you use with your friends and stuff. But for a resume, it's like first name, last name, at, and that's it.
Longschlong69@hotmail.com.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you look at any like resume resource website, like the first thing they advise you to do is get a regular, plain email address. Because students still don't do it.
Does Maddie have an email?
No. That's not good. No.
No, Oliver and Elliot have email addresses, but they don't know it yet. We just went ahead when they were born. We got them like thinking, you know, get it now before Gmail's completely saturated with every possible iteration. So
that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, like the holding email.
Yeah.
We just check it every now and then just for keep it legit.
I mean, but now it won't stop with email. After you get their email address, then you got to secure their Twitter account and all that stuff. Because you don't want to be at the real Donald Trump.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
Although I read today that apparently someone was squatting on his name in China. So he conveniently, China has finally moved to take care of that problem. And now he has a no more trademark infringements in China to use his name.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Conveniently that China moved on that after he, now that he's president. So,
well, you know, you mentioned getting email addresses for the kids. I still once in a while come across a parent where maybe I'll see it on a TV show where parents come down on other parents for putting their kids' pictures on Facebook because, well, who are you to decide, you know, whether or not your kid has a Facebook profile or whatever. Like, it's almost like you're pimping your kid out. I don't really go that serious with them. Like, no. You know, if I'm going to show a picture of my daughter smashing birthday cake in her face, it's cute. Yeah. It's fine. You know. But some parents are really just very uptight about that. Like, no, if your child doesn't have a say in it, you shouldn't. Like, no, whatever.
The bourgeois of parents.
Yeah.
We're driving back from Atlanta this weekend. Past weekend, we had to go down to sell my mom's house in Atlanta, like, or at least get it ready to put up on the market. Mm-hmm. And stopped by Lauren's brother that lives in the Triangle, North Carolina.
Yeah.
And they were talking about, so I didn't realize this. So just thinking of like bougie parents, daycare is no longer the right word to use, I have discovered. It is preferable to say childcare because the people that work there, hard as they might work, unless they're at my child's former daycare, do not care for the day. They care for the child. So there was this whole thing about like, you know, no, it's technically called childcare. You can't say daycare anymore. And part of me was like, so I, you know, it's great if you're caring, but the main thing is I'm paying for you just to make sure my kid doesn't die. So can I just call it child no die instead of like child care? Just say, look, you can care for me if you want, but mainly your job's not to kill my kid. So I'm paying my kid to go to child no die.
That's funny. Child no die. Did you ever see the movie The Shining?
Oh, God, yeah.
You remember the scene with the two twin girls? He rounds the corner.
No, don't remind me. It freaks me out. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I was walking, you know, I was walking down into my basement tonight and Madeline's doll was like laying on the sofa with the eyes open. It's one of those dolls where the eyes will shut and open. And I came down and the doll was just propped up on the couch looking straight ahead. And it freaked me out a little bit. And I thought of The Shining.
That sounds creepy. Dolls that.
And then I had one of my better Facebook post a couple weeks ago, or maybe two weeks ago. I was in the library writing my capstone paper, and I was going on like hour 7 or something, and finally I just couldn't. I was like, I don't even know what I'm writing anymore. And I made a post that said, I'm having that Jack Nicholson moment, you know, where at the typewriter, you're just typing away and it's nothing. It's nonsense. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hour 7 on a capstone will do that to you.
Totally. Yeah. You pass that hotel when you go into Estes Park, don't you?
You do. Lane and I have not been there yet, but yes, you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. That it's it's the Overlook or whatever it's called. I forgot what it's called, but yeah, it's a pretty big tourist site.
Yeah.
And I forgot if they shot the interiors there, if it was just the exteriors. I totally forgot, but yeah, people flock there like crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good place to take your kids for a little picnic.
Yeah. Yeah, why are we going to this hotel? You'll know one day.
Yeah. Man, I can't think of my kids watching that movie. I that movie scares me.
Yeah.
To be like 40 years old almost, that movie is.
That movie and Blair Witch Project are two. I don't really do horror films. Like, I've never even seen Jaws, but yeah, that movie's not right.
I'm the same way with Lauren tonight. We were trying to find something to watch, and she'll watch a scary movie, and I'm like, can't we just watch Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee again? Like, yeah. I need something funny.
Is that the Seinfeld thing?
It is, yeah. It's pretty brilliant.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
I think you'd like it. It's pretty funny.
Our nighttime thing now is Lane and I will watch a little bit of HGTV, and then we're in bed by 9.
Mm. Well, yeah. Sorry to keep you up after your bedtime.
Yeah, it's fine. It's a weekend.
Yeah. So, yeah, man. So, parenting tip. I have had a request for more parenting info.
Really? We have a fan club?
We have a fan club.
Nice.
So, and part of me is like, leave 5 stars, fan club. Even if you don't like us, please give us 5 stars, because apparently iTunes doesn't track data. It has no real way of tracking data. So the only metric you can have is by leave. I've always wondered why everyone's begging for 5 stars, and now I know. Because it's like the only metric you get with iTunes is your star rating. So
I just love the fact that we have a fan.
I know. So we should do fan mail. Maybe I'll anybody out there want to write fan letters, you can email
lovehandles57.
Lovehandles57. I gotta see if that's taken at gmail.com. Let me see if that's taken, and if I'll put in the show notes if it works.
Lovehandles57.
Yeah. That'll be our manager. So yeah, not the best parenting tip, because the point was made. Maybe that's a subjective point on no need to make parenting subjective.
Let's see. I guess my parenting tip will pertain to eating. And I will say, if you have kids, never go into any meal without ranch dressing. Ranch dressing is the way to get them to eat their vegetables. Carbs, starches, anything, ranch dressing. That's my parenting tip.
It's like The Graduate, plastics, ranch dressing.
And I have never seen that movie either.
It kind of drags toward the end. Gets kind of boring.
That is my parenting tip: ranch dressing.
See, that's kind of meta. I'm having to try to think of a meta tip right now. Don't trust that they're brushing their teeth when they tell you they are. That was tonight's dilemma. Lies. Oh, really? Nothing but lies. You said you brushed your teeth. Why is your toothbrush dry?
Will your kids brush their teeth on their own, or do you still have to do it for them?
Elliot, we still kind of have to. But we've started to give him the benefit of the doubt. But it's like, your toothbrush is bone dry. How... You said you brushed your teeth, but this makes no sense. And he's like, what's it? He said, he's like, it was like yelling to him, like, did you brush your teeth? Yeah. So if I come up there now, this is what Lauren was saying. So if I come up there now, the toothbrush is going to be wet. Yeah. And then you hear him get up. Where are you going? It's dirty. I got to wash it off.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, wait a second, you little punk. So
Lane and I don't trust Madeline. When she comes out of the bathroom, we're always like, did you wash your hands? Yeah. With soap? Of course. Let me smell your hands. Oh, wait, I'll be right back. I forgot
yeah, to put in the bathroom there.
Oh, let me just run back in there, Dad. Sorry about that. I missed something.
Have you ever had it with your kids? I hope this is not becoming of a young princess like Madeline, but for two boys, it's pretty often where it's like,
yep.
Why do your hands smell like shit? It's like, what are you doing in there?
Well, the other day, Madeline goes to the bathroom, she has to bring a toy with her. So the other day, she brought a whistle into the bathroom, and she's in there for a couple minutes, and she comes out, and Lane and I are sitting on the couch, and she said, Mom, and Lane's like, yeah. And Madeline holds up her whistle. I dropped my whistle in the toilet.
Oh.
This thing is just dangling there. Lane and I are like jumped off the couch. We're like, go put it back. And Maddie's just like standing there, like, put my whistle. Like,
the fishes love whistles. They'll love it.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's not good.
No, if Maddie's going to go to the bathroom, she is going to bring an arsenal of toys with her.
Well, of course. You got to have something to do while you're in there for 80 minutes.
Yeah, and she'll sit there and she'll have conversations with her imaginary friends. And we're like, you know what? If she's happy, that's all we can ask for.
See, what's making me nervous is I miss the imaginary friends. Now I get very nervous when both boys are in the bathroom together and the door is locked.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, guys, what are you doing? Not a good sign.
Well, I'm interested to know more about our fan club. That's pretty cool.
Well, I think we got a couple of subscribers. I'm trying to figure out a way to check the feed. I can get metrics. We had a spike when we first dropped this thing. There were over 50 people.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, whoa.
So, 50 people who didn't know what they were getting into.
Yeah. And I'll have to look and see what the last one was. So.
Well, I think what they love is our we do a lot of music facts.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about, the Rolling Stone guitar poll.
What we had for lunch. That's exciting.
What we had for lunch.
It's kind of like Twitter.
Yeah.
I don't think we said what we had for lunch, but.
What did I don't even know what I had for lunch. Well, I'm on a diet, so my menu of the day is nothing too exciting anymore.
I'm a vegetarian now. I'm back being a veggie.
What and, a poser.
I know. I just thought after the election I needed a softer side of me to come back.
Well, I'm still a vegetarian. Well, I eat fish, but I have a guilty conscience about it. But like Lane's cat had to have an enema today because the cat's like
did you give it to the cat?
No, I'm not trained. But great, yeah, Lane's cat is like 12, 13 years old.
No, I feel bad now. Sorry.
Yeah, and so the cat had to have an enema today. So Lane's telling me on the phone that this is what has to happen. And I said to Lane, I said something like, okay, I understand. Like, how much is it going to cost? And Lane is basically like, you're so insensitive. You don't care about animals. All you care about is the money. And I'm like, Lane, I'm vegetarian. I guarantee you no one cares more about animals than your husband.
You can trust that. Yeah. Oh.
And surprisingly, it didn't cost that much, so that was great.
That is good. I didn't. I, you know, I'll do it for $10 if you give me a turkey baster.
Yeah, I don't even want to think about how they did that.
Yeah,
some details are better left.
Take Maddie and be like, Maddie, this will be your parents in 40 years. So start learning now. Why are we down to one subscriber now? Oh wait, and that's me. Oh, all right. Prank call.
Yeah, really.
So there you go. End on a high note. That's the way I like to do it, man. End on a high note.
You can't do any better than ending on an enema story. It, you know, it's all downhill from there.
It is. But it's just, hey, I'm I'm sorry that your cat is going through these health problems. It must be very challenging.
Thanks for listening to the Stop That or You'll Go Blind podcast. Visit us online at stopthatore.com and on Twitter @StopThatOr.